It's been a week. Or we could say it's been a month this week. Seems like that anyway. Well, all the responses that you all have given me, that I asked you to give me last Sunday, one was a request to talk about God's purpose. And I think given the recent experiences we've had, it seems to be a very timely and fitting subject to deal with. So I've determined that the best way for us to kind of go through this is to kind of survey and see what's in the Bible that relates to God's purpose. We're going to look at one passage at a time, and if you can bear it, we're going to go through this from Old Testament to New Testament. I don't know how far we will get today. I don't know what kind of conversations we're going to have. But I know that for every passage we're going to look at, there are simply two questions. First one is, what does this say about God's purpose? And the other is, what does it say about our part in it? Okay? We're going to look at each passage, and that's what we're dealing with. What does this say about God's purpose? And what does this say about our part in it? So we're going to start in Exodus, part of the Pentateuch. And you kind of know this as being part of a story that's got a bigger canvas to it. But this is Exodus chapter 9, verses 15 through 16. And it's set in the middle of the story of God sending Moses back to Egypt and dealing with Pharaoh. And this is something that God said particularly about Pharaoh. He said, "For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth." That's the reality. God could have done that. But, he said instead, "I have raised you up for this purpose, this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." Purpose, God's purpose. So in this, we go to our first question. What's that question about God? It is, what does this say about God's purpose? What do we learn about God's purpose from what's going on in this story and what God said to Pharaoh? Okay? Sounds good. Which would have made Pharaoh the most, in that time, perhaps one of the most powerful men in the world. Yeah. Okay? Whether we're on board or we're not on board, one way or another, God's purpose is that His power and His might is going to be declared. That make sense? So let's talk about our part in it for a minute, because that sort of has to do with the positioning of this. So what about our part in it as we look at this passage? God's purpose. Our part in it. What part did Pharaoh play? It kind of brings us back to one of my favorite quotes. Will Rogers, you know, the guy that used to do all the rope tricks back in like the 20s and 30s, okay? And he would say all these things as he was playing with his rope and doing his... He said, "Everybody serves some useful purpose, even if it's just to be a horrible example." Now, in this sense, Pharaoh fits in that bill, okay? Pharaoh was a horrible example. But it says that God raised him up for the purpose that he would show him his power and that his name might be proclaimed in all the earth. How did that happen? How did God show Pharaoh and all of Egypt his power and that his name would be proclaimed in all the earth? Okay, the plagues, the things that took place leading Israel out of Egypt. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's the negative side. God is going to get glory in the contrast. If folks like you and me choose to disregard God, then He's going to display His power and the authority of His name in the way that He has to deal with us. It's not what He wants, but He will use what we give Him to do it. Does that make sense? Pharaoh would not do it. He would not let Israel go. He would not respond to Moses. He would not get into the program. He was going to do what He was going to do. And so God said, one way or another, you're going to see My power. And you're going to understand My authority. And it is going to go out from here one way or another. Does this make sense? So God's purpose here is exactly what Anthony said, that God would get the glory, that He would get the renown that He deserves, that people would hear and understand. From Pharaoh's standpoint, he had a choice. Get on with the program, or you keep doing what you're doing. But one way or another, God is going to demonstrate who He is. And it has been the choice from the time Adam and Eve got here first, when God created them. Make sense? Okay, second passage. Move a little forward. In some senses, actually Job, we consider to be a contemporary of Abraham, time-wise, historically. Job 42, we've gone through Job, you know, we've done that not too distant past. But in 42, 1 through 3, this is Job speaking. This is not one of the friends. This is Job responding to God near the end of the document. And it says, Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. What does that word thwarted mean? Hindered, opposed, stopped, changed. Okay. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. So in this case, what do we see here in this passage of God's purpose? What does it say about His purpose? Okay. Okay. God's purpose is so big we can't get our thoughts around it, much less our arms around it. Right? We know what it is, but we don't see how it works all the time. We just get to see the little bitty tiny sample size that we walk in, right? But we know that that purpose, whether we're Pharaoh or whether we're Moses, that purpose is not going to be stopped. God is going to get the glory. His power is going to be displayed, whatever we choose. And it cannot be, that cannot in any way be stopped. But then, Job is honest when he says, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Who was God saying that to? So it really is the same situation as it was with Pharaoh. Here God is looking at Job, who's his guy. And he's even looking at Job and saying, the one that's at issue about whether you're going to be online with my purpose or not is you. It's not going to stop what I do. It's not going to stop what happens. You're right when you say that my purpose cannot be thwarted. You're right. But God was helping Job look at the situation and see He's either on or he's off. It's just a matter of what Job gets to experience. You're going to experience this, being online with it. You're going to be experienced with being on the judgment part. Does this make sense? Do you see really any difference in the two if you look at the two passages and what they're saying? All right, so let's stop for a second. How does this strike us? How does it strike you? Do you think people really believe that God's purpose cannot be hindered, derailed, or thwarted? What do we act like most of the time? His purpose is that His power would be displayed through us, but if we choose to stay off the plan, it will be displayed against us. It is a choice He is leaving to us. Yes, it does. We're in the Old Testament. We got to remember that the context is different from where we're going to be moving forward. What we do understand here is that it's clear that God's purpose is not something that any man can any way deter, stop, or change. What we can do is determine our interplay with it and how we end up being dealt with, big picture, by whether we choose God's purpose or one that we think we can carry out. And God always shows us how foolish we are, even under grace and mercy. Okay. All right. John, next passage. All right. So we get to Proverbs and we have a couple that are small or shorter. It just simply says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Now that's not necessarily saying people are bad. Okay? It's not saying people are bad. What it is saying is that we have this tendency within us to do what? Okay? Okay. Do we do that? Are we like Peter? We run ahead, sometimes running ahead of God, and saying, oh yeah, I was supposed to do what you wanted me to do, but I kind of bull in a china shop, ran all the way through. Okay. Many are the plans in a person's heart. And then there's this comparison, this contrast, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Now, it doesn't say sometimes our purpose prevails. It is the Lord's purpose that prevails, whether our hearts line up with it or not. Still pretty consistent, aren't we? John, next slide. So in Psalm 33, sounds a lot like it. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, and the purposes of His heart through all generations. What do we learn here about God's purpose? Okay? They stand firm forever. They don't change. And it's never been different. It's always been the same. It will always be the same. No good idea you or I can have can improve upon God's purpose and the intention of His plans. Anything going through your mind now? All right, we're going to get to a familiar one. John, next slide. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. Great passage. God tells the people through Jeremiah, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart." Now, Anthony, how does that go with what you were saying a while ago? Well, it's really a little bit bigger than that. And I was kind of wanting you to take a step even back from that. The idea that God does have, I'll use a big word, altruistic, positive, hopeful plans for each of us. You know people that treat God like He is just this big thumb and He's waiting for a chance to smash you? Okay? And they treat God as this fickle God that wants to, you know, jerk them around and tease them and toy with them. And, you know, God's just, it's a cruel joke. And people who have that attitude about God from this passage. This applied to Pharaoh. This applied to you and me. It applies to everybody who's had breath in them. Is that it has always been God's plan and purpose, and it's been good. John, that's where we rest in that question that has to do with our part in. God's purpose has never changed. It's always been the same. He's always had the purpose that each one of us would enjoy the blessing from being in the middle of His purpose and His plan. But He's wise enough to know that He needed to make provision for us because we were not going to get on the plan. And even in Christ, we struggle, which is kind of what the idea of the permissive versus perfect will of God. But we do, fortunately, we live under grace, not law. Therefore, you know, we do have that. But what this says to us in Jeremiah is that for every person, God's desire is that we would experience the blessing of living in the blessing of His plan for us, His purpose. His power would be displayed. His name would be made known through us is His greatest desire. Anything else you see there? If my people would humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, then I will, yes. Well, the question then is, how well are we placing ourselves in a spiritual posture or position to be able to accept God's purpose for us and live in accord with that, whether we like it or not? Which is, bless, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. John, let's go to, we're going to go to the New Testament now. Words of Jesus. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Okay, so what do we see here about God's purpose? So this fits in the same construct that we've been talking about. God is saying here, through Jesus, He's saying, look, my purpose is that as you live this purpose that I have for you, and you're on with the plan, you find that your life affects many lives, which is we've done a lot of talking about in the last week. That there is fruit in that people get influenced and affected, and they understand that it is God who's at work in you, and His name gets glorified, and His power gets displayed. He wants us to live that plugged in, which is John chapter 15, is I'm the vine, you're the branches extended. I mean, it's that same discussion. Now you see, here's where I may disagree, just a tiny nuance. I believe God's purpose was that Pharaoh would get on board, but he didn't. Because God's bigger purpose was His power and His name is going to be praised. Pharaoh did not choose the Jeremiah choice, which is, I have plans for you, a future and a hope. Pharaoh said, thank you very much, I've got a better one. He did. He did. Now, the issue is, that was not his desire, is that all men would repent and come and serve him, right? So that even goes for Pharaoh. Okay, God's overarching purpose is, but when Pharaoh's heart said, my way, that's when the hardening process began to set in. At least that's the way I understand how that works. So here, the purpose is consistent. And that is that God's purpose for us is this fruitfulness, and it comes from being in line with His purpose and submitting ourselves to His authority. And so our part in that is what? What's our part in this, in the purpose as we see it declared here? What's the difference between Pharaoh and the parts of the vine that get hacked off and burned in the analogy that Jesus uses? I am the vine, you are the branches. Because one way or another, God's going to display His power and His name is going to be respected and worshiped and honored. One way or another. He got better than he died. Yeah. Well, obviously that's setting themselves up in a very, you know, humanly arrogant way to think that, yeah, sons of... Yeah, they did. They were sons of their God. Yeah. So God's purpose is that we would enjoy and get a chance to experience the fruitfulness that comes from being a living part connected to his kingdom, which is got purpose. His purpose, right? Okay, John, next slide. So we get then to Paul's letters. And in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, after one of my favorite passages in Scripture, Paul says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill His good purpose. I choose to focus on verse 13 and then work backwards. It is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill His good purpose. Okay, so what that says is once we are in the program, we have accepted Jesus, the Spirit lives within us, the kingdom is within us, it is not all done. We are supposed to then work out, become more like Jesus in a process of slow dying. That makes sense? The good news is it's God working in us. Whenever we got in line with the purpose, that God's at work in us, and now we have to cooperate with that work in us still. And there's an attitude that you're right. In the West, we don't have much fear nor trembling when it comes to our approach of God. In fact, I know a lot of Christians who would like to tell God what to do because they know what's best. Anything else you see here? What is our part? So our part here, if you look at this passage, is we're supposed to continue to cooperate to work out this purpose with an attitude of humility and submission and respect in a way that, you know, we are falling in line with God's purpose. He is not falling in line with ours. That makes sense to you? He is going to display His power. He is going to be declaring the authority of His name, whichever we choose. All right, so I'm going to pause here. We'll come back. We've got a couple more passages we're going to look at. We'll probably look at next week. But I want you to look at the rest of my title. It's called Purpose, and then the rest is God Wastes Nothing. That's one of the things that you hear. I know it's something that you hear from Dusty a lot. And it's true. And we're going to hear more about that as we move forward in the other passages in the New Testament, about how God's purpose is so all-encompassing that it doesn't waste anything at all. Even if we choose to be stiff-necked and we choose to let our hearts get hardened and we choose to be the brunt of the power and the authority as opposed to the ones empowered by the power and the authority. God doesn't waste anything. Carol, would you close us?